Greetings, everyone. Today's topic of discussion is, what is a 3PL and why do you need one? To help us get to the bottom of this question, we've got Randy Alfiara Jr. here with us. Randy is Vice President of Enterprise Sales at Blue Grace Logistics. He's got 17 years of experience in transportation, logistics, and shipping, and he's worked for carriers, shippers, and he's even managed his own fleet of flatbed trucks. So even though the logistics sector itself has done a remarkable job advancing the capabilities of third-party logistics, there's still a lack of clarity in other sectors regarding how this applies to them. A lot of folks outside of our corner of the national economy can't even explain what a 3PL is. And that's what we want to change. And here's why that's important. Basically, there comes a point where we're better off not doing something, even if we can do it pretty well. And that's because it's getting in the way of something we do much better, be it selling t-shirts, making jewelry, or the thousands of other things that businesses do. So for example, a store might be perfectly capable of sending shipments of cosmetics out to their customers, but their real strength will always be manufacturing and selling those cosmetics. That's what got them where they are. So let's just jump right into this and get the conversation started.
Yeah, thanks, Lewis. I appreciate that. You kind of hit on it right there at the end of that statement on, when it comes to focusing on what you do really well. And, you know, when we engage with our clients, we tend to engage with them when they're in a hyper growth or a very fast growth pace environment in terms of their top line revenue, their volumes, and the products that they're manufacturing. And understanding when the right time to call a 3PL, it really, in my perspective, it really comes down to understanding when is it the best time for me to really truly focus on my core competencies within my own organizations. Let the experts that are the experts in transportation and logistics do their job, and the experts that are experts in making a certain product make that certain product. So I don't know if there's a quantifiable time that businesses can turn to and say, if you know, I reach a certain revenue threshold or I reach a certain number of manufacturing units, that's the time to outsource. It really is more a time of understanding when is it of the most importance for your organization to solely focus on your core competencies of what you do. You know, in terms of signs that companies are potentially losing control of their logistics operations. Again, when companies are in hyper growth mode, you know, you tend to let smaller things fall off in an attempt to better service your customer. And a lot of times in the world of, let's say, the CPG space or in the retail space, people that are shipping into the big box retailers of the world, using Walmart as an example, what we typically will find is companies that have gone through hyper growth, they really just start to try to get that product out the door and accept the fact of chargebacks coming from Walmart because they're not in compliance with either a carrier requirement or or missing transit times or estimated delivery times. They will actually absorb that cost into their company as just a cost of doing business because they do not have the time nor the expertise on their staff or in their organization to address those things. So if you're a organization, you're experiencing some significant growth, you know, I think it's always a good time to explore looking at what the 3PL marketplace could potentially bring in terms of value to your organization. But like I said, I think it's very hard to quantify the specifics around when is the specific right time.
Okay. Well, thanks. So another way of looking at it then would be, you know, it's figuring out when is the right time to reach out to a 3PL, but you've also got a lot of companies that have their own idiosyncrasies, and there's a lot of like pride in really handling their affairs. So, but a lot of folks running successful startups, especially in the retail space, they're worried about switching up their winning formula. And with a 3PL, you're proposing that they let you take over a big part of their operations. And as we all know, in e-commerce, the you know, that fulfillment is a big part of the customer-facing experience. So how do you make sure that relationship works, and how would you, and would you be able to say, walk us through the process of creating a customized logistics plan for a company?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when a company is looking to outsource that piece of their business, and logistics, as you mentioned, Lewis, really can be broken up into two in my mind, two different worlds. There's the warehousing side of it, and then they're in the fulfillment side, and work that needs to be done inside the four walls of the warehouse. And then there's the transportation side of the business, which is obviously getting the products from the warehouse or the manufacturing facility to the customer, or even to the warehouse from your manufacturing facility. So there's really those two aspects of it when you're talking about logistics. And excuse me, the best way to make sure that those relationships work, you know, those companies, they have to trust the people that they're going to invest in, the companies that they're going to invest in, to take that control from themselves and try to improve upon the processes and the things that they have in place today in their existing infrastructure. And that trust comes down in a lot of different ways. One is from a commercial relationship and understanding what are my commercial terms with this provider to make sure that I am getting the best and most flexible deal for me. And it also comes down to making sure that you understand and do your due diligence that you are partnering up with the right company. And because this is a very broad space that we live in, there's a lot of niche markets. So as example, our company, we are really, really focused on the transportation piece of the industry. Other companies will call themselves a 3PL as well, but they may be more focused in the warehousing. So understanding the landscape and understanding the actual idiosyncrasies of the 3PL and what their core competencies are inside the logistics marketplace is very, very key to making sure you are partnering up with the right company. The second piece that you mentioned there is how you make sure that, have me walk you through the process of creating a customized logistics plan. You know, I can't speak for all the 3PLs out there, but I can speak a little bit to what our process is and how we go about that. And that really comes down to getting some executive buy-in and some understanding from the companies we work with during our sales process to allow them to take a look at their existing network, whether that's through data or through on-site visits or through just almost a more of a consultative approach to understand their current state. And once we understand that current state, we're able to then take that, use our systems, use our tools, and quite frankly, use our own personal expertise based on the people that we have in our organization that have been doing this for their entire career, and then create a future state that is a much more optimal for that organization on how they're distributing their products to market or how they're buying their transportation or where even their warehouses are located. There's a lot of different things inside of what we do that will help drive value for our customers. Mm-hmm.
And okay, so now the example I'm going to give is probably quite a small business, but if you think about, say I'm selling gizmos out of my storefront and I've expanded into e-commerce and that's doing phenomenally well. And, you know, there's an issue at any point in the delivery chain. So I, you know, walk down the hall or yell across the office or whatever to my guys in shipping and I say, hey, what's up with, you know, order number such and such. Now, when practically speaking, so when now a company is now outsourcing to someone like Blue Grace, how does that stack up against doing it in-house? And how do you sort of ensure that transparency, the predictability, and also the communication, I guess?
Yeah, those are really good questions. So, again, I'll speak specifically to us and what we do. A lot of companies do this a little bit differently. But, you know, if I'm the, say, the salesperson, I'm trying to find where this order is that's going to my customer, and maybe it's running behind schedule or whatnot. You know, with us, there's a lot of different technologies out there that we will interface with. So in our world, if a customer of ours has the ability, we can actually integrate into their ERP system. So I may be able to just go into my ERP system, search by my sales order to find out the latest status of that shipment and where it is. You know, in other instances, what we will do is, you know, we will send daily tracking reports or send and push information back upstream into our customers' organizations to make sure that they have that visibility by sales order, by shipment number, whatever it may be, to make sure that they have the most up-to-date and most accurate information on where their shipments are. The whole point of having to walk down the hall to ask where a shipment is what we try to avoid. We want to be able to make sure that people can sit in their seats, be on an airplane, or be walking, you know, down the street on a Saturday if they want to be able to have access to information that will tell them everything that they need to know. And that's part of the value that, 3PLs in general will bring to organizations, and part of the reason why people look towards using companies like ours.
And I guess that really gets back to our central theme here of sticking to your core competencies. And, you know, that because a company like Bluegrace brings so much technology and expertise to the situation, that's something that you know, the client shouldn't be dealing with in the first place, or in an ideal situation again. So,
correct. Yeah. Yes.
Another part of running a business is accommodating surges and declines in orders. And oftentimes these can be very unanticipated. And so how can hiring a 3PL help companies mitigate against the delays that sudden surges often cause in fulfillment, where you're just slammed with no forewarning?
Yeah. So, you know, we see that quite a bit in our world. You know, if you look at the truckload market as an example, you do see seasonality. You do see some peaks, some valleys in regards to the amount of volume that's going out. I think everyone understands, you know, end of month, end of quarter, you typically have more orders going out the door than you do the rest of the month. You know, I think, and probably the most prevalent example of this, if everyone's heard about, you know, the Tesla and the issues they've had with trying to get their newest car to market. Once they got it all completed, they couldn't actually get it to the customers because they didn't have a means to get it literally out the door and get it to the customer, because they didn't plan for that. So, you know, the things that we can help companies with is again, when we look at managing that business for them, is really looking at how much of their business can we actually plan. So if we have a business, you typically, when you see these gigantic spikes in fulfillment, there's something that triggered that event. And is that an event that we can look back at over time and try to plan around that on a year-over-year basis, on a month-over-month basis, but really starting to dig in to understand, well, what truly drove that specific anomaly that you had this big surge in volume? And once we identify that, then we can plan for that in the future, whether that is, hey, we had a big discount on a certain product and all of a sudden it started flying off the shelf, or a new product became available and it started moving and it increased our volumes. Those are the things that we try to do to make sure we understand the company's business as well as they do, to help them mitigate those costs when they occur. The other piece of that is kind of on the back end as well, is if you cannot plan for those events, but you know they're happening, maybe we can isolate those to a specific customer or to a specific product. And if we can at least do that, then we can plan that we know that these events are going to occur, that we're going to have these surge in volumes. We may not know when they're going to be, but we know based on this customer and their shipping habits and their buying habits, that this is going to happen from time to time. So we can plan for that customer, whether that's internally with your own sales team, to make sure you understand the cost of doing business with a customer that has that type of business rule in place with you, that has these large surges, so that you can account for that and quantify what these large surges cost your company, so you can budget for them and, again, plan for them in the future.
Yeah, and I guess adding to that is the fact that, you know, if these companies were acting if their delivery chain was entirely independent, they, you know, these same surges would really be causing a lot of problems. So they're sort of stacking on, you know, a whole bunch more capacity by working with somebody like Bluegrace to really ensure that, you know, whatever does happen, you know, it may cost them a little more or less or whatever, but the capacity will be able to be accommodated in a way that they couldn't.
Absolutely. The capacity would be able to be accommodated, but more importantly, also understanding and troubleshooting what that root cause of, you know, planned versus actual, right? Every person, every company that we talk to, we want to understand what is the plan and then what actually happened. And if there's a variance to that, we try to adjust on a forward basis to make sure we're in the right, and we set our customers up in the best position possible to optimize the way that they're selecting their transportation.
Awesome. So you're kind of getting a consultant thrown into boot as well, is what it sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. So another question I've got is, Bluegrace Logistics is a really fast growing company in transportation and logistics. And you know, having worked on the media side of this business for a couple of years, it's definitely a household name. Everybody knows exactly who you are and what you do. But this podcast is targeting people who also might not you know, Bluegrass is nothing more than just a name. So for people who are wondering if they should be talking to a 3PL right now, can you talk a little bit about how extensive Bluegrass's reach is and the services you provide for companies in other parts of the economy?
So at Bluegrass, you know, we are pretty wide and vast in terms of our solutions and the companies that we work with. We are not heavily weighted into one industry vertical or another. We're pretty evenly spread out between automotive or manufacturing, CPG, retail, consumer goods, you name it. We're pretty well spread out in terms of the base of customers that we service. That being said, our capabilities and what we really specialize in is North American supply chain management, with a really strong focus on the transportation management piece of what we're doing. So as you had mentioned, Lewis, you know, your last comment was we sound like we do a little bit of consulting. We do that. We do help customers understand, you know, what's happening inside their supply chain. But for the most part, we really help customers with their transportation management. And that is the piece of, you know, any interaction that a shipper has with a carrier, we kind of step into that space and make sure that that shipper is now interacting with us. And let us handle all the communications and the payments and the headaches that there are in dealing in the transportation world with some of our carrier partners. We step in the middle of that. We make sure that that is all running as smooth and as optimal as possible. And then we interact back with our customers to give them the information that they are truly looking for, which usually boils down to visibility, as we mentioned earlier, about understanding where my shipments are, what's going on. But more importantly, what are the cost impacts to my bottom line with my transportation network? That's really what we do. We help customers understand what their cost to serve, what their cost to deliver, what their overall cost is to run their business just by managing their transportation network.
Okay, great. I'm going to keep pushing this consulting theme a little bit more. And
sure.
I'm kind of fishing for a story here. Do you have any examples of companies that really didn't have a logistics strategy? And can you talk a little bit about how you worked with them to develop one? And obviously you don't have to use the real name or anything, but I think it'd be sort of interesting to give us sort of an example of how this would look and how it played out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I use the term companies that didn't have a logistics strategy, that use that lightly because everybody has a strategy, whether they want to believe that or not. It's really about how are they executing it. And then that's the first part. And then the second part is it the right strategy? And I'll give you an example of a customer that we engaged with. You know, they actually had two distribution facilities inside the United States. And there was one based out west and one based on the East Coast. And this client was shipping to all of their customers from both of those locations. And the individuals that we were talking to inside the organization were both relatively newer to their roles, and they had inherited this distribution footprint. And they really weren't sure if it was the right thing to have or not. Just logically looking at it, it didn't seem like it made sense. But they could not quantify what it meant for them. And is it the right decision? The reason why it was set up that way when they inherited it was that there was some manufacturing going on in a lower cost region country that was then moving into one of the DCs. The other DC was tied to a manufacturing facility that was US based. So the rationale was the manufacturing cost of the product was cheaper than the distribution nationwide, basically crossing the distribution streams, if you will, between the company. So we were able to come in and really assess that situation, understood where they sat, and gave them a future state analysis that showed, hey, if you actually were to pull these apart and become more regional in your distribution footprint, you would actually save a day of transit, which correlates to lower inventory and faster turns, and save close to $1 million on your transportation spend. Now, that may not sound like a lot of money. In this case, that was roughly, you know, almost a 20% savings for that client based on how much they were spending currently. So those are some of the things that we do as an example to help companies quantify, am I set up correctly from a logistics infrastructure standpoint? And more importantly, am I even shipping the right products from the right location? Again, that's more the supply chain consultative things that we will help provide for companies that want to understand, are we set up correctly? We have another facility, another customer that was based on the West Coast, and they were distributing nationwide out of California. So helping them and rationalizing their network with them, we identified that, again, if they could put a facility somewhere in the Midwest, I think the analysis showed it ended up being somewhere in Tennessee, to service their East Coast customers, again, we could reduce their overall transportation cost per unit by a pretty significant amount by doing that. So now we're running truckloads from California up to the Midwest and then distributing out to all their customers via LTL, which is a smaller mode of transportation, resulting in significant savings for the customer on their distribution network. So those are just a couple brief examples of when we talk about that consultative piece of what is my strategy from a supply chain standpoint that we can help companies understand.
Yeah. I find that second example especially compelling because for a company that would have been running its own logistics and then reaching out to you guys, the notion that, you know, adding a second facility, which you know, comes with costs, would save them that much money is quite remarkable. But obviously that's the brilliant thing about bringing in a fresh set of eyes and a whole lot of expertise. And
you know, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, and that's part of, some of those things that we use, the technology that we use to run those analyses and work with our customers on that. Again, if you are self-sourced or you're doing this on your own, those are things that you have to purchase. Those are software applications that not only do you have to purchase, you also have to hire somebody that knows how to then run that analysis. Mm-hmm. So again, that's why partnering up with someone like us is good, because you don't need to necessarily run that analysis very often. You run it once or twice and understand how do I become more efficient in what I do. You run a couple of analysis and then you create your roadmap on how you're going to walk to getting to that most optimal state. And that is what we help customers do.
Great, great. Thanks so much for your time, Randy. I appreciate it. But if what you heard sounds like something that you might benefit from, I'm sure Randy and the folks over at Blue Grace would be happy to discuss the matter in more detail. I'm going to close out by suggesting that you navigate on over to mybluegrace.com and they'll handle the rest of it from there. So thanks again for listening, and you all take care.